The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Man, I got hacked. My Airbnb got hacked, but luckily I found out who the hacker is. Let me tell you about it. Good morning, it's the Dana Cortez Show. I am Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So the hacker's DJ Automatic, my husband.
So
he's going to visit our daughter for dad-daughter weekend at her university. And he says, I'm going to get an Airbnb. I said, okay, cool. And then he says, I'm going to use your Airbnb. I said, you can't do that. You have to have your own. You've used it before.
I haven't used it in a decade.
So he's really quiet, right? He's to the left of me. He's really quiet. I'm thinking, oh, he's finding the perfect spot somewhere near the university. Everything's fine. And then he turns to me. He says, hey, I need you to prove who you are. And I was like, what? He's like, because I'm in your Airbnb and I need to change. I said, you can't do that. Just put your ID in. I said,
just know that all your information is now mine except for the picture.
I said, you're going to show up and they're going to notice you're not this woman. You can't. Yep.
That's the only thing that stopped me from booking a really great price. And then I ended up getting so frustrated with it, I just booked a hotel.
And got rid of my Airbnb. I had to redo the whole Airbnb thing. I got an email, like Airbnb's like, someone's in your account. Oh my gosh, is it? I had to redo everything, redo my password. Sir.
Automatic. What's the reasoning for not using your account, though? I don't
understand. Because I thought,
that.
You know, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking that it was like a family account kind of thing, and I could just use hers. Okay. But she's not going with me, and I didn't realize you have to have your picture on there, and they have to validate it, and you have to show your ID and do all those steps.
He quit.
It's been about like 10 years since I signed up for it, so I forgot about all those things. And usually if I do an Airbnb, Dana books it, so I don't even think about it.
I'm usually the Airbnb booker. He's the hotel booker. So he ended up going with a hotel near the university, which is fine.
But let me tell you, Aunt, I am nervous about this weekend because my daughter is in a sorority. I don't know that much about like fraternity, sorority life. And I have a strong inkling that I'm not going to fit in with the other dads.
Oh, don't have a preconceived
notion
going into this, dude. There's going to be a lot more dads in your shoes than you believe.
I don't know. The last time I went to a sorority fraternity thing, I left in handcuffs. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Don't throw salt on it.
Okay, is that why you didn't want to use your real ID?
I was like, I don't want them to know I'm coming.
It was actually in that town.
It was.
Well, I don't think that you have to know about sororities or fraternities to just enjoy yourself with our daughter. And she's so excited. Anthony, she's calling constantly. She's sending me and Otto messages with the itinerary. Of course, she sends them to me so I can make sure that he knows what's happening. Because she's so proud. She's so excited. And it wouldn't
be. My only instructions from her have been, you have to dress like an adult.
Yeah, because.
Do I not dress like an adult every day?
Well, you still wear like sneakers. You wear a chain. You wear a cap.
I think you dress like an adult automatic, but that's just me.
Yeah, thank
you. You don't dress like the other dads. No, you're an NBA DJ, so you're not going to fit in exactly, but you're a nice person. They're going to like you.
I know I can have conversation and I can BS with the best of them.
What does she want you to dress?
That's what I said. This is what I told her. I said, well, what do you want me to wear then? And she said, go buy some polos.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Actually, taking you back to your old days right there, dude.
I know. Really? She thinks it's 2002 again. I might go I should show up with one of my big polos and then a long white tee.
No. Baggy jeans, giant striped polo, and a high fade. Not happening. I finally got him out of that.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Cheerleading is a huge sport, right? All over the country. All of my daughters cheered. So when I saw this headline, I just about fell over. Cheerleader mom did the unthinkable. Her name is Tawny McGean. And she'd been battling her ex, Bradley McGean, over custody of their daughter, Addie, since 2015. Basically, since Addie was really little, just a little baby. Mm. And this past weekend in Vegas, she killed her daughter at a cheer competition and then herself. It was a murder-suicide plot to hurt her ex.
Disturbing story.
Disturbing. Disturbing story. It's nothing alike exactly. But I thought, is there something going on in this world that makes you think differently?
The cheer mom world?
Otto, you know it's a little
really
different.
I don't think that really had any. This is more of a custody battle thing than it really had to do with cheer.
Maybe, but why do it there? Do you see what I'm saying? What's the mindset of doing it where everybody is? You are going to make a bigger spectacle of a horrible thing already. Like, that was her intention. And it reminded me, Wanda Holloway tried to hire her brother-in-law to off her best friend, whose daughter made the cheer team, so her daughter, Shanna, could cheer. I had never heard from the daughter in all of this time. This is back in the 90s. She sat down with Dateline recently to talk about it. Because I always wondered, how did the daughter feel? Because she went to court every day with her mom back then.
Mm-hmm. This is a daughter whose mother tried to hire a hitman, correct?
Yes. So okay. Shanna, because the plot was foiled. Like, it did not happen. So Shanna is grown up now, and she sat down with Dateline. And here she is describing how she came to terms with her feelings.
I didn't deal with things from the get-go. I just stuffed them down. And I found myself on the floor in my kitchen. I missed several days of work, and I was just to the point where I didn't see a reason for being here anymore.
She's just a kid at this time, and she's having to support her mother at court, like literally go to court with her mother every day. And then she goes on to talk about the importance of cheerleading and why she thought her mother was so desperate to have her on the team.
Apparently it was a very big deal, and it was kind of how you made your name for yourself.
There are people who felt that your mom was living vicariously through you.
I believe that she was pushing me in the direction that she thought I would have the most success.
I remember going to some competitions, and there's nothing wrong with supporting your child. I think 100% we all want to do that.
But we were at a lot of competitions.
Every competition.
Supporting our child.
But I don't know that we were as invested as some. I remember some of the moms who would, you know, just
go to the front of the stage and do the cheer with the
and they would get so angry. Yes, they would go to the front of the stage and do the cheers. That's fine because you're encouraging. They would get so angry at their daughters. You remember that? Screaming at them if they didn't hit the right move.
I don't think that's just a cheerleading thing. I think that's a parent-kid thing because I know growing up in baseball, I had dads that would get mad at their sons if they didn't pitch well or they didn't play well. Or
like
they
scream at them and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I saw,
oh, my gosh, Autumn.
I saw kids catch beatings over it.
A lot of people do live through their children. I do agree with Dana, though. Like, in the dance world and the cheerleading world, it is kind of seem when it does happen, it's like intensified.
To Anthony,
those people who live through their cheer daughter. Or cheer. I was a male cheerleader for a while too, and I could tell you firsthand, like, it's very intense in a way that is different from the sports I played, football or basketball, growing up.
And there's this certain like feeling of jealousy, like I want my daughter to be prettier, to be better, to be more talented. It's just strange. And I just didn't want to be a part of that world.
To be 100% honest, I didn't want our daughter to be in cheer because I knew of this because my sister was in it. And my mom never really participated in the, kind of like you. But I saw what my sister went through. And then when our daughter wanted to be in cheer, I tried to ask her to be in other things. And
she wanted to be in cheer like her sisters.
And I mean, it worked out. She did make lifelong friends, and she did it until she was a senior in high school. So it's not an all bad thing.
No, it is not. But there's just some aspects that are a little strange. I always wondered if Shanna had a relationship with her mother, Wanda Holloway. Here she is telling Dateline about that.
She's seen what I've gone through, and I think she has a better understanding now than ever of how it affected me.
She has a relationship with her mother. You know, her mother was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Come to find out, one of the jurors was a felon, so they had to retry her. But this time she just copped a plea. Mm-hmm. They gave her 10 years. She spent 6 months in jail, and that was it.
Six months?
Yeah. Well, I mean, nothing happened. But, I mean, it's horrible. No, you're right.
She was plotting to hurt somebody.
Her best friend, which makes no sense. Anyway, all right. But I think that it's brave of the daughter to speak out.
It's a very important conversation for women to keep having, and because of this issue going on within the dance and cheerleading world.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There's this 18-wheeler, and it was full of diapers, and it caught on fire.
Oh, no.
The whole thing shut an entire piece of highway down. This thing was on fire for so long that the wheels all blew up.
It melted the wheels on the 18-wheeler?
I guess they don't melt. Sometimes they explode.
Oh, from the press.
I don't know anything about that kind of thing, but it says that the wheels exploded. I don't know if it's all 18.
Yeah, from the heat, from the burning diapers.
Yeah.
This was an 18-wheeler filled of unused diapers, right? They weren't dirty diapers.
Yes, Anthony, okay. They were unused. I don't know what would have happened if they would have been used. They'd still be burning right now. Why are diapers so flammable? Do you know they're one of the most flammable things ever? Like, that you can make? We put them on our babies.
We strap up our kids with... I thought they would be flame retardant. For
The people that we love the most, our babies and our elderly. And we're like, put something really flammable on their butts and see what happens. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they said the fire's out. Roads are open. I never wore diapers.
How did you never wear diapers?
So I was really allergic. So I wore diapers, but I wore cloth diapers.
Oh.
I was severely allergic to Pampers and Huggies and all that stuff. So my grandmother would literally put me in cloth diapers, put the little safety pin on, and wash every single diaper every day like that.
I'm pretty sure my mom put us in cloth diapers too.
Really, Otto? Yeah, you wore cloth diapers?
Just because we were poor, though.
Bruh.
Oh. It wasn't. And here's an interesting fact about me. Okay. I actually potty trained myself.
What? How do you potty train yourself automatically?
You can call my mom right now and she will explain to you. Because
I swear I'd call her if she was awake.
Yeah, my brother is a year, 2 months, and 1 day younger than I am. And so my mom had two kids basically right away.
Yeah, they waited that 3 months and that was it.
Yeah,
huh?
And I didn't like the idea of walking around with a soiled diaper. So I just learned how to do it on my own. I would pull it off and then I just learned how to go to the bathroom on my own.
Well, who would wash your diaper after?
My mom would wash them because they're cloth, so...
Oh my gosh! I've never noticed that. That's interesting, amazing, and sad. It is.
When she explained that to me, I was like, it "says more about you than it does about me."
Well, for you, automatic. That's a big story of triumph, you know?
Yeah,
you
I taught myself how to ride a bike too.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Oh.
So, like I said, it says more about her than it does about me.
My mom never. She had a friend who the term used to be boosting. You guys know what the term is?
No,
boosting. She had somebody who would boost diapers for her.
Oh,
and
I
we didn't
what you
know
mean
how
by that.
We didn't know how the lady got them, but we all had a lot of diapers.
Oh,
okay?
She got a lot of half price diapers.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yes, she did.
Oh, Anthony.
But, okay, don't get mad at me. But one of my friends when we were little, oh, my God, I hope he's not listening. But this is my favorite potty training story of all time. So my friend, we were in kindergarten. He relieved himself in his pants and didn't tell anybody the whole day.
No.
And instead, he just went out for recess and laid in front of the sun and let it dry.
He must have smelled bad all day
long.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was going to say, that's how they figured it out.
Yeah, that's what the teacher said. And my friend was like, I handled it myself. I air dried it. And still
our
favorite.
Man, he's probably known as the pee-pee kid. There's always that one kid. And you know what we call Boost now? We call that Facebook Marketplace.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
We're playing Who's Lying? Woo!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, 877-730-DCS1. We have our caller on the line. Cheyenne, you ready to do this? You ready to play Who's Lying, Cheyenne? Woo-woo!
Yes.
Okay, I really want you to win, Cheyenne, okay? I'm sending you all of the ESP energy I can. Obviously, want to be your new favorite morning show. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, Dana Cortez. My husband, DJ Automatic, will do the same, and so will Anthony A. If you guess correctly, Who's Lying? You win the DCS merch. So obviously I'm Dana Cortez and Manshine. I was thinking about the day that I married DJ Automatic. And you know, I'd planned my wedding since I was a little girl. I'm getting emotional now. And then my dad, when he walked me down the aisle, he was so strong until he had to let go of my hand when you stand in front of your, you know, future husband. And so he started crying and then I cried and then I held back the tears though because there was no way I was going to look bad in my photos, okay? No way!
DJ Automatic here. I actually pulled out my phone during our wedding, not to take pictures, but to give my vows. And I will say this, I put the entire church in tears because I talked about our future together, joining a new family, being a father figure to Dana's daughters and, you know, building business together. And then I also reminded the church, I'm only doing this one time, okay, guys?
Yo, what up? Anthony A. And when I was young, my mother and my stepfather got married, and I actually took the place of my grandfather who had passed away, and I walked my mother down the aisle. It was a beautiful ceremony. I do remember being confused, though, because I asked my mom, I said, hey, Mom, why aren't you wearing white to your wedding, like a white wedding dress? And she explained to me, Anthony, I can't wear white if I have two sons. And that's when I learned the rules of white wedding dresses.
All right. Okay. So, Cheyenne, if you guess correctly who's lying in this studio, you win free DCS merch. Who's lying?
I think, Dana, you're lying.
I'm lying! You're right! Oh! I'm telling a big, fat lie. How did you guess it was me?
I was listening to the radio, and I heard based on your guys' story of the wedding, and I top DJ out of Mari was the one that will be more nervous than anything.
Well, and I'll tell you right now, I don't even know what my father looks like. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, so that was the biggest lie. Cheyenne, sure. I'm so excited for you. Do you want a hoodie or do you want a t-shirt?
I'll do the hoodie.
Okay, well, thank you so much for making the Dana Cortez Show your new number one morning show. I love you. I'm so grateful. Congratulations! Woo!
Yeah. There you go. We listen to you guys every morning. Me and my wife and my kids. My daughter loves you.
Oh, Cheyenne, that means so much to me. Hey, well, let me ask you, were you nervous on your wedding day?
Officially, we went to the courthouse, so we want to plan something more like family.
Nervous,
I always know I want to get married. So my wife was less nervous. She didn't know she wanted to get married like I did. So I always thought about my wedding since I was a kid. So we want to do something more.
Oh, Cheyenne, that's so beautiful. Well, you did it legally, and now you'll do it. You'll just spend a lot of money on the whole family because that's exactly, it's a big party, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Cheyenne, hold on. Producer Jack is going to get all your details. That's smart. Courthouse wedding. Remember, Otto, I mean, we did really well. We saved money. But, it's spendy.
It still cost a lot of money, even though we had connections with, like, venues and wedding planners and everything. It still was very
expensive. Yeah, think about it, okay? Courthouse sounds good to me. All right.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Earlier, we were talking about a couple on the brink of divorce, and one of our listeners said that was us. And then she did this and turned the marriage around, literally saved her marriage.
At the time, I was like, it's him. He needs to grow up. But, I look back on it, and it was more me. You know, I had to grow up. At the time, I blamed him, but I had a lot of growing up to do.
I told Denisha during the call, I said, look at you holding yourself accountable, Denisha. Look at you admitting you were wrong. That's something that's really hard for me to do. But I've gotten better, Automatic, haven't I?
Yes, you have gotten better. I think it's hard for everyone to do, but Dana has an extra hard time doing that.
Well, because I know. I've had some really tough relationships, and so I need to be strong. You know, I need to be strong. That doesn't mean
to your guns.
Yeah, stick to my guns, but that doesn't mean always being right. Being strong is admitting when you're wrong. That's being strong right there, looking in the mirror and having some accountability, looking at myself and saying, wait a minute, did you need to behave that way? Was that the right way to speak to your husband in public? You know, seriously.
No, I think
on the radio?
Yeah, automatic, whatever.
No, it's a tough thing to admit too. And then for me, it's also like when I am coming up with my own arguments about my partner in my head, sometimes I assume their answers. And before I even have a conversation with them, I'm over here getting mad about what I think they'll say.
They haven't even opened their mouth yet, Anthony, and you're already coming at them.
And that's a really bad habit I do, not just in relationships, but with everybody. So I'm really trying to break that. But shout out to the caller who stepped up and said it was herself. And to be able to self-analyze.
Self-reflection.
It's hard. That's a very hard thing to do.
Had she not had that revelation, she would probably not be married anymore. And who knows where her life would be at this point. Just being able to admit, hey, I might be wrong. And saved your marriage.
And apologize and work on being a better person for your person. Donisha's been married for 19 years.
Hey.
So the lady knows exactly what she's talking about. The last time Automatic and I had a blowout fight, and it was bad. It's the worst fight we've ever had. It was over finances. It was blown so far out of proportion that we lost control of ourselves. We started saying things that are so embarrassing. I'm not even going to repeat them. You know what happened? What intervened? I feel like Jesus. I feel like God intervened because my mother was in the middle of going through a very hard surgery, 14-hour surgery. We go to bed mad. I'm in the living room. He's in the bedroom. And a phone rings. My stepdad says to me that my mom had a heart attack on the table. And let me tell you something. Life comes at you hard. That's important. Love is important. Forgiveness is important. Not these stupid fights. And when Otto heard me crying, he came into the room and he was like, I'm sorry. I'm stupid. I shouldn't have done this. Those are the things that are important. Not being right. And we let it go. And we hugged each other.
Moved on.
And we moved on. Yes. Mm. And we were there for one another.
Automatic, did you really call yourself stupid in that story?
I'm sure I did. I felt pretty dumb because I said some things that were out of line. And, you know, people act funny when it comes to money. And, what, and you know how cheap I am. And you know how Dana loves to spend money.
Facts.
What a great reminder that those stupid little arguments don't count. It's the love you have for one another. Thank you, Donisha, for sharing your call and reminding us.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.